40 years and counting. That's a long time. And it's a lot of history. And it's an honor this morning to have two of our former pastors here this morning. And would you, Mark and Dean, would you guys stand for a second? It's been a long time since they've been here as pastor, but let's welcome them. They traveled quite a distance to get here. I don't see Sue here. Am I missing you? Sue is not here. I believe she's going to come later. Sue Hines is going to come representing her husband, Buddy, who is pastor here for several years as well, but he's in a nursing home now, and I know he would love nothing more than to be here. He can't be. But we are grateful for these men. I'm grateful for these men who laid a good foundation that I can build on. And so thank you guys for the hard work that you did in the years you were here. Today we do celebrate 40 years of this church functioning in Cherokee Village in this area. And also in sending and supporting missionaries around the world. Something that church has been, this church has been very much faithful in doing that since its very early days, since it was founded. I think then it's an appropriate way to celebrate these 40 years with a declaration of our commitment to the principles upon which this church was founded. Some of you may have looked in the back at that document on the table underneath the light. That's a pledge, I guess you would call it, that states quite simply that we affirm those things that the church was founded on 40 years ago and has remained faithful to for those 40 years, and we pledge to remain faithful to those until our Lord comes back. And so that's it in a nutshell. We can all go home now, right? Normally I would say open up to such and such a passage of scripture. We just finished the book of Matthew last week. And I like to preach from God's word. I do preach from God's word. But this morning I'm actually going to preach from that pledge, which is based upon God's word and is filled with God's word. But I think it's important for you to understand the things in that pledge, because I am going to ask you to sign that pledge, as Howard alluded to earlier. And that's even if you're only visiting here this morning, I would ask you to consider the principles that are laid out in this document as we go through it, and consider how they apply to your life and how you function in your own home church, especially if you're visiting. The pledge that I'm going to ask you to consider this morning opens with these words, and I'm going to ask you, since you all have it, you should have a printed copy of it. Does everyone have a printed copy of it? It was the insert in your bulletin. It's important that you have that because, yes, there is some space on there. I always like to leave space for taking notes, but it's also because I'm going to ask you to read this aloud with me. And I've got it on the screen as well. But we're going to read this together, and we're just going to read it by paragraph as it's kind of separated there on your sheets. And then we're going to go through it. So read with me. We, the people of Village Bible Church, formerly Grace Evangelical Free Church of Cherokee Village, Arkansas, honoring the 40-year heritage of this church and her consistent commitment to being evangelical in her efforts to make disciples of all nations, both locally and abroad, do hereby rededicate ourselves to this commitment. It's a long sentence, isn't it? I'm good at those. I make long sentences. In 1976, a group of believers who had recently moved to Cherokee Village from other parts of the country, they were evangelical free church people. They came here and they wanted to plant an evangelical free church. And there was a lot of people moving in from other parts of the country at that time, as even there are still today. But these folks met in homes, having Bible studies and fellowship. as they engage in a difficult task of organizing a church that could function well in the future. And by September of 1977, give or take, roughly, they had gone through much of the hard work of doing that and were able to hold their first public meetings in what was then called Council Lodge, over on old Kayakina Boy Scout camp. Now, I don't want to give the impression that these folks were somehow angelic and above reproach and without sin. They were just normal Christians, just like us. They had struggles, they had arguments, no doubt. They had to wrestle with the old flesh just like we do. Still, by the grace of God and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they managed to lay the ground for a church that has lasted these 40 years. And I would say that that has much to do with their own faith. And the reality in their lives that God's Word is the Word of God from God Himself. And it has authority in our lives. And they based the foundation of this church on that principle. It was also founded on the principle laid out in Matthew 18, 19 through 20, which we read last week as we closed out the book of Matthew, where Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all nations. Now that means a cooperative effort of Christians working together as part of a local, visible body of believers in the community and with the people among whom we live. And it also means the individuals who comprise the church take responsibility for supporting that church by material means and also through prayer. The church, acting together, sends and supports missionaries to the othermost parts of the world, which is how Luke records it in Acts 1:8. He commands, or records the command of Christ, to engage in making disciples of those in other nations as well. Other nations who haven't heard. Other peoples who haven't heard. That's why we support Andy and Mary Ellen Faust in the work of translating the scriptures, because those people may not have heard. They don't have the scriptures in their own language. Now they do. That's why we support Dottie Hoppe and her and Bob's, who passed away in June, efforts to work among the Malayo tribe in Colombia, South America, this remote tribe that worships the earth, witchcraft. They have given their lives and the lives of their children to that service because it's important, because it's the command of Jesus. And this church has supported them and others like them for 40 years in those efforts. Now, making disciples where we live involves teaching the things Jesus commanded. Because it's not just about sending missionaries out, as important and valuable as that is. It's also about doing the same thing ourselves where we live. And that demands a proper view of an attitude toward God's Word, Jesus' Word, the Bible. We thus hold the Bible as the inerrant, that is without error, and authoritative Word of God, written by the hands of men who are moved, as the Bible tells us, by the Holy Spirit of God as they wrote those things. And these words that we read every Sunday, and hopefully for each of us every day. And so, ultimately, the church's foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's because of our mutual faith in and love for Jesus that we would say something like this. Read it with me. We pledge our intent to engage in the great commission given by Jesus to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus commanded, and to be witnesses unto Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. This includes not only the passage of teaching those who do not yet recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but also a personal desire to grow in grace
and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
You know, this church does have a rich heritage of being evangelical in the sense of working to win people to Christ, both locally and abroad. But it's not out of some sense of honoring the traditions of the past that we do this. And that's not why we affirm our commitment to that. It's not just because, you know, it's all what we've always done. It is quite simply because Jesus commanded it. One of the passages we looked at last week was in Luke 17. And Jesus had given this parable. And at the end of the parable, we noted that Jesus taught through this parable that serving Him is our duty. I love what those servants say. Lord, we've only done what is our duty. We don't serve Jesus. We don't go to the remote parts of the world. We don't endure the ridicule of our friends and neighbors because we're looking for some great reward or because we're afraid of some horrible punishment. It's our duty. He commanded it of us. And so we do it. In order, I think, to be authentically evangelical, each of us individually must be growing in our personal knowledge of the Savior we're called to proclaim, which is found in 2 Peter 3:18. I think perhaps this is why many Christians are lacking in this area of proclaiming Christ, because we lack the knowledge of the Savior we claim. We need to proclaim. Having neglected to grow in Him, how can we tell someone about a guy we don't even know? And I fear this is why many Christians are hesitant or don't even bother sharing the good news of Christ, because they don't really know Him personally. They've got this very surface relationship with Him, and they've neglected to grow in Him. Recently, I've added to our weekly lineup of announcements on the slideshow in the morning, before announcements and even during announcements, a slide that challenges us to be in God's Word daily on our own. I don't know if anyone has even noticed that or not, but it's there, and I'm bringing it to your attention now in case you missed it, because we need to be doing this. And this is why. Because it is essential that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is how we do it, folks. In His Word. Daily. In His Word. That's why we have our daily breads, which I've called before a very good starting point for a daily devotional. A daily time with God and His Word. You can go through a plan that takes you through the whole Bible in a year. There's many other ways you can study God's Word, but the point is you need to be in God's Word daily. Because that is where we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we do that, I believe that we'll find ourselves wanting to tell people about this Jesus that we're coming to know personally each day. That's why we went through the book of Matthew together as a church over the last relatively about a year, I think it took us. Because I wanted us to get to know Jesus so much that we loved Him and we couldn't help but to tell people about Him and who He is and what He's done. And what He's done for us and what He can do for them. Although our individual walks with the Lord are vital and we must be growing in this area daily, we were created to live in biblical community. I think oftentimes Christians have this, we have this rugged individual idea that, you know, I can do it on my own. And I don't really need the church that much. It's okay. But I can know Jesus all by myself. I don't need the church. I can worship God in the deer woods just fine. And we neglect this aspect of the Christian faith, of walking and living in biblical community with fellow believers. It's also important to, this is where we live out our faith together, in the church, in the home, in the workplace, in the community. And when we're in the body of Christ, functioning in biblical community, I think we'll be challenged to grow in areas that without that, we would either be tempted to, we just overlook them completely, or we would be tempted to kind of ignore them or justify them. It's a whole lot easier to justify something going on in my life when I don't have someone else kind of breathing down my neck. We need that. Which is what leads to the next thing in our pledge. Because we also know we have pressure from ourselves. We also have pressure from outside to compromise. And so read this next part of this pledge with me. We do therefore further pledge to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, to hold one another accountable, to spur each other on to love and good works, and to do so with the goal of love and unity in the body of Christ, without forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Without forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Has anyone in here ever used that accusation, forsaking the assembling of ourselves? I have. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, how horrible that is. And we almost want to beat people over the heads with that. We want to beat Christians over the head with that. How dare you forsake the assembling of yourselves together? Maybe right, maybe wrong, I don't know. But that's not why this is included in this statement. Not at all. The inclusion of this statement is simply to acknowledge the importance of the mutual accountability afforded by the church to maintaining the integrity of our faith. We desire to hold on to that regardless of the pressure to compromise, and we need the assembling of ourselves together to spur each other on to love and to good works. It is vital to our lives as Christians. It's not just about building the church, though it is that. It is about our lives, our individual lives, growing. And it's to be done in biblical community, which is what Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reminds us. It's also vital to that there's sound teaching going on in the church. And so we further commit, if you'll read with me, to remaining a church where the whole Bible is taught as the Word of God, regardless of the pressure to compromise this value. We acknowledge the authority and authenticity of the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, and declare our commitment to proclaim the unchanging truth. These are able to make us wise unto salvation, and the bold proclamation of their truth is necessary to develop disciples who are not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Our aim in the pursuit of the truth of the Scriptures is that we always speak the truth in love, and that we would grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This requires sound teaching at all levels, which can only be recognized to the extent each of us maintains a personal commitment to studying the Word at home and with our families. Where the whole Bible is taught as the Word of God. It was a tagline that was the church adopted before I came here. On the sign over there, it's abbreviated a little bit so it would fit to teaching the truth from God's Word. You know, we like to have good taglines. It's good marketing, right? But it's got to be more than just something that's up there to appeal to people who are looking for that kind of thing. This is a statement that plants a flag and says, we will not compromise on this. We will remain committed to teaching and proclaiming the truth from God's Word, because it is God's Word, every word of it. It reveals to us, God's Word reveals to us His unchanging truth. And it must be carefully studied and taught. We must not neglect this. As a church, we must not neglect this. From the Sunday school lessons that are taught to the kids and to the adults, to the small group Bible studies that go on at various times and various places as part of the church, to the sermons on Sunday mornings, and yes, even in the songs we sing, we absolutely must remain true to the text and the intent of God's Word. This is how we come to know God and understand who He is and how He works. This will change the way we live our lives together at church, as I said, in our homes, at work, and in our communities. And that will change our culture. Not the other way around. Because that's unfortunately the way many are trying to do it now. Compromising the authority of God's Word to appease the culture. And trying to soften the blow, so to speak, by compromising what God's Word says. And if we compromise the authority of God's Word to appease the culture, we will lose our ability to influence the culture for Christ. And dare I say, that will be because we will fail to know Christ for who He truly is. If we compromise the truth of God's Word, we don't know Christ. Sorry. Because this is where Christ is revealed, is in His Word. And if we start to compromise that, how can we possibly know Him for who He is? We come to know Him by studying His Word carefully. And He changes the culture by working in our lives as we both live that out and proclaim that truth, teaching it faithfully. The Bible alone, however, is little more than words on paper. Did I just say that in church? But think about it. This is paper and ink. It's paper and ink. This is a book. What makes this book different than, say, the works of Shakespeare or Harry Potter or whatever other books there are, is that the Holy Spirit of God, first of all, brought these words about through the hands of men, and He works in the hearts of those who read these words today to bring about change. And without the Holy Spirit of God behind these words, without His work through these words, there can be at best only limited impact of these words in our lives. Think about that for a minute. Many will say, well, I've read the Word, but I don't get it. It's an okay book, I guess, but I don't get it. Evidence, I fear, that the Holy Spirit of God is not working in that person's life. Because these are indeed, this is nothing more than ink and paper. This is not an object to be worshipped. But the Holy Spirit of God does work through these words in powerful ways when we will take the time to study them out and seek Him in them. And so we go on affirming our reliance on the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit as believers in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation from sin that puts us in a right relationship with God the Father. We do it with our signature below, commit to the aforementioned pledge. It's our mutual faith in Jesus Christ that motivates this. Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, who came to earth in human flesh, and died in our place to buy us back from the slave master of sin with its price tag of death. This is what unites us as a church. And we believe it's the Holy Spirit of God that the Scriptures teach indwells those of us who trust in Christ for salvation and guides us and directs us and empowers us to work together as a single, cohesive body. And this serves to continue the work of Jesus that He did on the earth. We read, as we went through Matthew, we saw some of the things that Jesus did. We read of some of the miracles, some of the powerful things that Jesus did. And as the Holy Spirit works through His church, that is the continuation of the work of Christ when He was on earth. We are indeed the body of Christ, but it is the Holy Spirit working through us that enables that to even begin to happen. And it's because of the confidence in the continuing work of the Holy Spirit through Christ's church for the glory of God the Father that I think every believer who is an active part of this church should, without reservation, sign a pledge such as what's on that table back there. Now, if you're willing to sign a document affirming your commitment as believers to remain true to these things, and then have that hung on the wall for the world to see, then you'll have the opportunity here in a few minutes. Now, I, for one, regardless of my position as pastor or even just as a member of the church, I want my name on a document like that, that declares to the world, plants a flag and says, I will not compromise on these things. These things are important to me. I am going to follow Jesus all the way to the end. Whether He comes back to get me, hooray, or whether I have to go down in flames serving Him, I will serve Him to the end. And that's what this document, I believe, declares to the world. And I want to have that hanging on a wall for the world to see. And I hope you do too. I feel like I should sign it like John Hancock signed the Declaration of Independence, right? Large and clear so everyone can see it. And everyone can read it. There will be no question that Philip Pinto signed this document on this day in 2017. And I hope that you have that same level of desire to serve Jesus in that same way. And if you do, there's room on that paper. I'm hoping to see that paper just filled up. And in a few weeks, there's some people that couldn't be here this morning who are part of this church, and they need to have the opportunity, and I know they want to have the opportunity to sign that document as well. I'm not gonna deny them that just because they couldn't come this morning. And then in a few weeks, we're going to frame that thing and hang it on the wall out there in the foyer. There's a shovel out there that people oftentimes wonder, why in the world does this church have a golden shovel in the foyer? That just doesn't make any sense. One day we're going to have a plaque that explains that. But that shovel is basically, that's what was used when the ground was broken to build this church. And that's a great thing. But to me, this document says way more than a golden shovel can ever say. And it says it clearly. And I hope that 40 years from now, though I find it really hard to believe that the Lord is going to wait that long to come back for us, but 40 years from now, when this church celebrates its 80th, that it can look back at this day and say, those folks were solid. And we now, 40 years later, say we're going to reaffirm what was committed 40 years ago. And what was committed 40 years before that. To remain true to these things. Because they are true. This is what God has revealed to us through His Word. And by the way, through His Son, Jesus Christ. God the Son in human flesh. Can you imagine? What an amazing thing that is, that God would become a man and come to earth to live among men and experience all the trials and temptations of a man, and yet without sin. Why? Just so He could die. just so he could be crucified, brutally so, and shed his blood for my sins and yours. This is the message of salvation through Christ that we proclaim, that we believe. This is the message that changes our lives and can change the lives of those around us. Will we share it? I hope that your signature on this document isn't the end for you. Oh, I've done my good deed for the week or for the next 40 years, whatever. But that it's a firm affirmation that I am going to continue in these things, actively so, into the future. So in a second, I'm going to go to the back and I'm going to sign it first. Sorry, you guys are going to have to wait for me. I get to be first. And I'm going to invite anyone here, who can agree with these things, says, I want to do this, to sign that document. Anyone here who wants to have that hanging on the wall for the next 40 years, should the Lord tarry that long, is welcome to sign that document with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for you, for the example you set, for the price you paid for our sins. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who indwells those of us who trust in you for salvation. The Holy Spirit who guides us and empowers us. Lord, I pray for this church as we celebrate 40 years of service to you by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would have your hand of protection on this church as it moves forward in the future, proclaiming the gospel here in Cherokee Village, in this community, and around the world. Lord, equip us and empower us to do the work you've called us to do, and to do it boldly, without compromise. Or as we see a world that is a country right now that is turning its back on you and forcing, it seems, the church to do the same, and as many churches are bowing to that pressure, where we ask your protection on this church, that we would not bend under the weight of that pressure, but that we would stand boldly and confidently on your word, declaring its truth, even should it be to the very end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.